Okay, so last week we started Tanya Perek Chof Ches, deals with, we started 2 weeks ago, deals with the issue where the Baal Tanya's language is that a person should not be a fool to get involved with trying to elevate thoughts. Okay? So last week we discussed, I showed you first one of the extreme examples where the Kamarna writes that that's Divrei Hevel and that a person must believe that everything has in it a spark of Kedusha, and that therefore a person is obligated to attempt to elevate the thought. Then we went to the source of the issue, which was the Degel Machne Ephraim, where he talks about the Baal Shem Tov's teaching and how he illuminated the world with that teaching. Now, today we're going to start with the Yerush Divrei Emes, and then we're going to go to, if we have time, hopefully we'll have some magnificent piece of Agad Perka from the Bnei Yisrael. But let's start with the Yerush Divrei Emes. The author of the Yerush Divrei Emes was also a disciple of the great Magid. His name was Rav Meshulam Feivish of, I don't even know how you pronounce this, Zayin Beis Reish Yud Zayin Aleph, Zabirja. And it's one of the classic, easier Svarim, meaning there's a lot less Kabbalah. It's a letter that he wrote, it's a conversation that he's having with somebody. So, in the first Chelik, in Ois Yud Zayin, in the this new print, it's on page Yud, Omid Beis. He writes as follows. Uklal ze yebiyotcha. I want this rule to be in your hand. Shebevadai. Af ata ba'atzmecha mevin ze. Even you understand this yourself. Why do I have to tell you this? Rak machma shenizgalu ksovim elu. Shalakodesh menenu dev berzal hanal lekamanoshim. Since the writings of the great Magid have been revealed to some people. Umuatim heim. However, there are very few sheyichlu lehidamis elav who can go and compare themselves to him, velases kimaseyu, and to do like he did, afilin goybikseyu, even to try attempting to touch his ways a little bit. Ve'emroyim sham shekoyse bekama mekayim signinze, and they'll see there, you see on the bottom of the footnotes where he's referring to, that he writes in several places, dahainu. And again, the Maranaim is full of this. If you look in several of the other Toldos Yaakov Yosef, the disciples of the Baal Shem Tov and the Magid talk about this consistently. That when a person experiences an emotion of love, even if it's a love to something evil, the person can take that feeling and uplift it and utilize it to love Hashem. Right? Remember when we were doing Maranaim? We had this all the time. Because the person's going to think, Kal v'chaymer, that this is a Kal v'chaymer, im ritzoin inoitelev shtuze. If my desire leans, is inclined to something so stupid, shupsulosh nafle b'shvirosh psailus, that this is a form of refuse that fell down, is Kal v'chaymer, the shorsha, la havas habirah, how much more so should I love the source to the love of Hashem? From which this love was taken. I mean, literally, the Maranaim uses this very same language. So too in evil, in bad fears, and so too in false prides, in victory. Now, so people who see these words, and yet are not enough mevinim on themselves when they see this. Is chayshvim, so they think, shadava pasha to lilmet kalvachayma zeh, k'may shalayim dem kalvachayma bigamara. So they go and utilize intellectual thought, and they learn pshat with the big thumb, like we're learning a kalvachayma in the Gemara. Amadach, if I'm experiencing this love, which is such a lowly love. How much more so I'm going to go experience the love of Hashem, right? He says, the difference is when you're learning Gemara, you're learning. Here we're talking about living. A person cannot go ahead and act on this Kal v'chaymer unless he's completely removed himself from his own physical desires. Because if the person is very much connected to physicality and to his coarse desires, and he invests in them according to his own intense desires. What's hakter and kop? with the love of Hashem, and from the love, the fear of Hashem, and the pride of Hashem. Kidlai Tameh Klal, the guy's never tasted it in his life. So what's he learning at Kal V'chomer too, if he's never really experienced the love of Hashem? The Pasuk Taka says he got a first taste, and then you could see that Hashem is good. But this person is busy with his steak and his dry wine. So how can you expect him to experience real love of Hashem? Says the Yosha Divrei Emes, watch out. It is very possible that the person is going to end up in a Tifa pit if he doesn't guard himself exceedingly. Therefore, the person must distance himself with every form of distance found in the Musar works. Only a person who has completely removed himself from physical desire. And despite the fact that he's already removed himself from Gashmias, nonetheless, all of a sudden he's overcome by some evil love or evil fear. Because on some very etvas edelazach, he has not yet totally worked it out. And that little bit of Psoilus wants to grab a hold of him and push him over. Is azai for a person like that who hates a shaloi, then you can use that which the Dagomach and Ephraim was teaching us last week from the Baal Shem Tov, Shiyotzi Yoker Mizoilal. Then the person can go take the treasure out of the Shmoz, V'yomid Kavachoyim, and he can take out the big thumb and learn the Kavachoyim. And then he could utilize it as a stepping stool to arouse himself to the love and fear of Hashem. Very different from what the commander said last week, that this applies to everybody. And it's written in the new writings that arrived in my hands. So again, this is the generation after the Magid. And they just printed the Magid of the Yankiv, Lukutim Yikarim. Moshel Moshe Gozeh. So the great Magid gave a beautiful parable for this. The Moshel, the parable is, and this is a parable we all got to keep in our pockets. Misha Melech Sholach Bechema Ish Echad Mechayel Esav. So the king sent a warrior, a mighty warrior. Ish Neirem Oid, a very fierce warrior. Mu'uyim Mufuchid. You know, one of those guys that's got a horn and he's got the two, you know, the two things sticking out, from Hagar the Horrible. And the king sends forth his mighty warrior to go fetch one of the people in the country, to quickly bring him. But the king calls the guy and summons him to a case. Now, so if the guy who the king is summoning is an idiot, is azayhu mefached me'ashliach, so he trembles in the face of the messenger. And he starts pleading with the guy and offering him bribes and gifts, because he thinks that the shliach has got some status of his own. Of what value is it? But the wise man says, "What am I going to go be busy with this shaita for, with this messenger?" His entire fear only comes from the fact that he's a messenger of the king. He can't do nothing without the power of the king. Therefore, I'm much better off going straight to the king. Perhaps I can appease him. Because that's, after all, one of the character traits of the king is that he's forgiving. Similarly, so that's if the guy is a brutal, mighty warrior. So too, the opposite. When the king sends forth one of his agents in honor and in pleasure, when the king wants to summon somebody to honor him, So the guy, if the king is summoning the guy, he's an idiot. So then the guy is going to hear the COVID. Look who I'm spending time with. Wow, this guy's chashev. He's driving a chashev car. He's got chashev clothing. You know, I'm somebody. But somebody who's wise, maybe he understands. He understands from the messenger that since the messenger is coming from the king and he's only outside on a mission, if this pleasure is so good, spending time with this guy and this car is so comfortable, can you imagine what it's going to be like when I can spend time with the king himself? And why should I bother wasting my time spending time with this cheap, temporary pleasure of the messenger?
Who only has reflected
light. Precisely. Who's only just a reflection of the pleasure of the king. Mutar ba'isei hazman lidabek ulemayer leilech al hamelech lisanik sham. Isn't it much wiser that I go to the king and spend time at the source of the pleasure? After all, I know that the king wants me. How do I know? Because he sent this pleasure to me. If he sent this pleasure, he's clearly summoning me. So he's calling out to me. Why bother spending time with whatever form of attraction it is that the king sent me if I could go spend time with the king? This is the Kal V'chomer that the Baal Shem Tov was telling about. That makes me want to run even quicker to the king. Now, clearly he's sounding like Halos HaMachshavos, right? This is clearly the method that the Baal Shem Tov was teaching that a person used to elevate these thoughts, right? It's the Kal V'chomer. Now, he just gave us the Kal V'chomer in two forms, one in the form of the fear and one in the form of the love. What's the lesson we're supposed to learn? Any person who has the awe of Hashem or the love of Hashem, it's burning inside of him like fire. But it's not totally clear. It's not totally sharp. And therefore sometimes the person experiences fears and loves that are unbecoming. That person must know that this is a call from Hashem. And it's mamash, this is the same lashon. If you remember, the Maharnaim talks about a dog, that a person is attacked by a dog. And he says, if a person can remember that that fear is Hashem calling out to him in fear, that he promises the dog will disappear.
Then they say the story of your brother.
Right. Is kishiroya davash yesh la livchad b'men. If a person sees something that's worthy of our fear, k'may nachri ay kelev mefuchad, like a non-Jew or a dog who's frightening, umisayre b'liba yire midavaze, and it is awakened in his heart the emotion of fear, yeda, he should know, k'min Hashem ayim shochel davaze. This was sent him by heaven. Because he has become distant, and he fell away from thinking about Hashem. And the king is trying to summon him once again to come back to his fear. So the king, in order to get his attention, sends him this frightening fear, which comes in a crass, lowly form in this world. And if he has seichel, is yizkar, he's going to remember where this comes from. And he'll run from this fear to the true fear of the king. Because this fear itself came to call him, to summon him, to come to the king. It's the agent. This dog, this non-Jew, this love, this woman, this food, whatever it is, came to summon him to come to the king. Why bother with the messenger? Rather, he should run in his thoughts and in his yearning to Hashem.
And so too with love. If he falls into a evil love, because he fell away from the love of Hashem. Notice that if a person would be engulfed in the love of Hashem, he would not get caught up in the other love. It's only because he's nafal me'avas Hashem. He fell away from the love of Hashem. V'raitz Hashem Yisroel lo'edere, Hashem wants to arouse him. Ula, I'm going to give him pleasure, Ba'avos Yagdele, with his tremendous love. V'shaleach lo'edere v'psoilis v'ahav, and he calls out to him with this fallen love. Shur shliach shalei l'mazeh b'inin ahav, it's a messenger of love in this world. V'alderech ma'ashe kesavdi b'mashal, like I wrote in the parable, V'al yedei zehu alos nitzoytzin v'shivrikelim, this is how one elevates the sparks from broken vessels. The broken vessel is the form of love that it's coming to the person in. It's the form of fear or awe that it's coming to the person in. Ki ahavas harois v'yiras harois v'esparas harois shem nimshachim l'chomer is built in this gash al Hashem Yisbarach, because any love, any fear, any pride that's coming in a physical way without a connection to Hashem, Him Psoilis Hamonim, they are broken vessels, Tvinin Shlenivra, that is the concept of Shviras HaKelim. Now go to section 2, which is going to be over here. This is a set. So that's a set. Keep that together. Here is another set. Here is another one. You know what? I think you have two sets there. Should be three sheets. Four sheets. Adam.
Just following this one.
Yeah, it says Yoshe Devar Emes on top, in handwritten. Okay? So that is in the second section. What ois is it?
Lamed Hei.
Again, in the Yoshe Devar Emes. Here he gives us another mashal, beautiful mashal. Again, from the same Rebbe of the Baal Tanya, the great mind. Circle there on the bottom. Vomer Rebbe Rebbeir. That's the way the Galatiana didn't call him the Magid. All the Galatiana swore him called him the Rebbe Rebbeir. Moshal Nachman Al Ninidze. He gives a beautiful Moshal. Me'inin ha-machshoves, ha-zores, ha-megulolois, u-misnapes, aleinu ha-ve b'tfila. He's talking about some foreign people, strange people, who end up for some reason, by davening, thinking about things other than the words of Dami. I know it's hard to imagine. They say that there are people like this. And it requires tremendous work to get rid of these thoughts. But says the great Magid, the thoughts of ulterior motives are even worse. When it comes to ulterior motives, the thoughts of pnias, meaning people are looking at me, I got to act a certain way, those thoughts are virtually impossible to get rid of im loy be'ezer adikim, were it not for God's intervention. V'omad, next turn the page. Now we're on page Chav Beis Amad Beis in the Yoshe Divrei Emes. V'omad Huzal. Sehi, meaning the great Magid, taught, kama seidos niflois, he taught wondrous secrets about this. Some of them are written in the writings that are in your camp. Camp Gan Yisrael. You hear? But you must know, those words are written for great people. V'anachnu loyneda mizem me'uma. Says the Yeshe Divrei Emes about himself, but we don't know how to do things like this. I don't know how to elevate. Now this is one of the Talmidim of the Magid writing. And he says about himself, that's for great people. This isn't for us. As I wrote to you earlier. What that means is that the stuff we just learned That is for us. But this higher form of elevation, we'll soon see some of it in the Agudat Kala, the Agudat Pirka, about what he's talking about with Seamus and stuff. But that Kal V'Chomer that he was teaching over there,
that goes
even for us. Okay? I want to give you a different parable, says the Yeshad Rambam. Sha'amar, the Magid taught, She'inyin zehu shalapamim yoyse shemizgaber adam lispal. He says, you ever notice that the more we try to daven, yavoyin lemachshav ezroyis v'zoyis yoyser, the extraneous thoughts get worse? This is so comforting. You ever notice the harder you try, the better it seems it should be going, the harder it gets. Is v'inyin zehu lemashal. He says, gave the Maggid a great mashal. Im adam yeshle ben nechmad bal seichel gadol. If a son has a cherished child, good thinking kid, b'toyra, charif, he's sharp. And he has tremendous pleasure in this kid. And the parent wants to have even more pleasure from the kid. Ubo etzle oireyach echad lam din gadol. So a great Talmud Chacham shows up as a guest. And this guest says, hey, why don't you test that kid. Let me see what this kid's all about. I hear great things about this kid. Let me see what he's all about. So the guest comes in and begins to test the kid. Umakshaloini asks him kashas. Umavalvaloini tries confusing the kid. Minapshuta lamika, from the simple vort the kid is saying him. And he tries confusing the kid, right? Kedei l'nasoise, in order to test him. The kid answers him each thing the right answer. And he doesn't allow himself to be tricked. The father is sitting at the side, enjoying the sight. When the guest sees that the father is enjoying the scene, what does he do? Is whom my sibla actually? So the guest gets into it more with the kid. Ula mika, he gets even further in. Ula akshes loyla sidim and adachalacha. The kid, the guy's trying to get the kid to veer off the path, because the more the kid is able to withstand the temptations and the trickery, the greater the father's pleasure. Kidei shali nechaz atzmin and adzeg. The kid doesn't let himself be won over. V'yelov tani gal diyosad kandavav. That's what the Maggid taught. That's the secret behind Bilbul HaMachshava in Tzvila. Is v'inyin zeh, next paragraph, Hashem Yisbach roitza lishtasheya b'yelid shashur mami Yisrael. The Rav Shlaim enjoys, he takes delight in Klal Yisrael. V'tzivanu la'edovik b'yahava, and he commanded us to cleave to him with love. V'zeh nikra halacha l'shan halicha, therefore it's called halacha. Where are we going with halacha? Beautiful touch of the word halacha. Where are we going? We're going to God. This is first-hand material. Masha Amar Rizal. The Arizal said, Shahalacha Roshetavis Hariu Lashem Kola Aretz. That the entire world, Maria is from a language of Trua, what does Hariyu Lashem mean? Teroyim b'shevet barzal, the pasuk says, break it. In order to go to Hashem, tzorach l'shabe kol ha'artzias v'chomenias, one needs to break, to crack all the gashmias. V'aloch hazu evshu kipshut alasik po. He says, and I'm telling you that the aloch is simply to learn. And the Rebbeinu Shalom placed within us a tester. Who Ayetzer Hara? He gave us an evil inclination. Ulanas is lanaba to test us. Kidach Shemanas and Atinik Balacha, like you test the kid in his learning. And he comes along and makes it impossible for us to walk the simple path. He tries getting us off on all kinds of tangents. Ukishanu chachamim, if we are wise, ve'inonu menicha my son, and we don't allow ourselves to be distracted. Azayesh la Hashem yizbuch tayne gadol. Hashem has tremendous pleasure. Ukshuraya Yitzahara Shiyash La Shemis Bach Tainik. When the evil inclination sees Hashem's enjoying the show. And he too was created for Hashem's sake. Even the evil wind does his word. You do it like the Mashal writes, the parable of the prostitute who the king hired to test his child. When the Yetzirah sees we're davening a little bit better, he says, oh, now I'm going to get him. I'm going to make the guy next to him really irritate him. Now I'm gonna turn up the noise. And he now tries even more to get us into trouble. That is why, specifically when it comes to davening, we are bombarded with all of these extraneous thoughts. All of this. I'm repeating what the Maggid taught.
So you're saying the person doesn't have
Machshav Azaris,
and he has to worry?
He's got to worry. Is Nimtza Lefisa comes out of this.
So what is this? So here we're supposed to not fight it, just go with it? Just appreciate it? What?
No, here he's saying to fight.
You should fight it.
Fight it.
But you should enjoy it.
The father, Rabbi, you should take it as a big compliment. Yeah. Here he's saying it's a tremendous compliment. Machshav Azaris are the ultimate compliment.
So you should enjoy it. Why doesn't he say the same thing with this is talking about babbling. Why is it not about living life?
It is. In Ranami. He's just saying it's much more common. By davening. Oh, he asks your kasha explicitly. Limits on the visa. Look at the next paragraph. I didn't copy the whole paragraph. Nikach ray midvar. We could take a proof from the words of the Maggid. Even though we'll never totally win the Yetzar with his many tricks. Larba machshavas amakif my son. With all the thoughts that he surrounds us with. Kikis lalugia. Because it's we're totally bombarded. We're, it's everywhere. Whatever we can do, we got to do. But yeah, Hashem is more contenting, and Hashem is going to enjoy the show. If the kid can't come ultimately to the destination, but he tries, he argues, is even though he doesn't come to the ultimate truth, the father still enjoys the fact that the kid's trying. Well, right? Because the kings, the father says, Shani Roy Shal Kaponim is Gabalatsmi, the kid is at least trying. Mashaikinim Shayam Lanar, if he were to ask the question, Vuaymid Mishumim Mishoisik Abadim, the kid doesn't answer anything, as I Av Mizbayash Chazashom, the father would be embarrassed, may have been. He'd be embarrassed for the child. Do you have the next copy? Kiroya, because he sees, listen, I'll just listen outside, Kiroya Shayin Leavana Klal, he sees that the kid. Totally absent. He's not into it. Calls a yuvin b'ma'at hashkofa. All of this can be understood with a little bit of thought. I want you to use this, he says, as a paradigm for all other forms. L'kfiyas ha-yetzahara, overcome the yetzahara, shetzarach b'chol uvda b'chol mida, which is required everywhere in life. Emes ki ike kfiyas ha-yetzahara u'b'tfila. He says, I want you to know the main arena for overcoming the Yetzirah is in davening. Are you listening over there in Vilna? But we need to at least understand that every midrash that comes, we should try to overcome. And Hashem will have tremendous joy from this. Like I wrote earlier, ulazeh barano, that was the purpose of our creation. Even though we're not going to finish the war. He says, use your brains, extrapolate one thing from the next. I only came to remind you of the fundamentals. Okay?
So is that why Russia has more potential then?
A person who has more challenge has a person who has more challenges has greater potential. All right. So clearly you see here that he says that this is only for great people. Nonetheless, all of these thoughts are here for us to go to war with them. He doesn't say to elevate them. Okay? Let's go to the next footnote. You're gonna be late again tonight, guys. I'm sorry. What's the next thing? Next one is Agra de Pirka. Okay, so the Agra de Pirka is a collection from the Bnei Yisoskar, and he wrote it on Inyanim, various disorganized thoughts. But it became one of the fundamentals in it. Again, the Bnei Yisoskar was written by Ritzvi Elimelech of Dinev. The Bnei Yisoskar was his sefer that he wrote on the months of the year. He wrote Agra de Kala and Chumash. Here, I actually arrived here because he wrote a sefer called Hisafos Martza, commentary on a sefer written by Reb Herschel Zidichever, who was his Rebbe. So he wrote comments on his Rebbe Sefer. So I just want to read to you this one line that'll take us over here. He writes, look in the Sefer HaTanya, called Likutei Amorim. Hifli b'chachmasai, wondrous wise words, to recognize that all of this was only said for people whose thoughts are not coming to them from themselves. Okay? But for somebody who's still dealing with his own thoughts, that's not where the action is at. Now look in here. Kuf Ois Kuf Mem. Letter Kuf Mem and Agadik Perka. There's 30 different printings of the Sefer. Kabbalah Me'al Baal Shem Tov. We have a Kabbalah from the Baal Shem. Kol Machshav Zara Habal Adam. Here you really get a deep understanding of what it would look like if we had the capacity to do it. Any machshava zara, any extraneous thought that comes to a person, yishtadol lahaloiso l'sharsha, the person should attempt to elevate it to its source. Dehainu, what does that mean? Imo minyan ahava, if it's a thought of love, kigon yirurei znos ukiyotze, like inappropriate sexual attraction, then yishtadel la'aloisa l'midas ha'chesed. Then the person should try to elevate it to the source of chesed. Look at the parentheses. Dainu, that means lizbayna me'echen u'sharish midas ha'ava. Now this sounds awfully similar to the first piece of Yeshu Divrei Emes. That is to look into where's the source of love. Hu me'midas ha'chesed v'ahava. After all, the source of it is in its source, in the Midav Chesed upstairs. And from there it fell into this, what we call the shattered, from the kings that are written about in Bereshis to the Klippis, is Alkein Toivli the Davik has asked me B'Shar Yishava. Why should I go to the messenger if I can go to the source of the love? Va'az, and if the person does that, Yis'ala Nitzit Shabbatecha Klippis, he's going to elevate the spark that's in the Klippis. Now look at this. V'yichavin b'shemes ha'shayach and the midas ha'chesed. The person should have in mind the names of Hashem that are related to chesed. Kigayin shem kel, ve'avaya b'nikud segoil. Hashem's name, if there are segels under the word, that's chesed. So when you have those thoughts, this is how to do it. Ukiyotze midas hayiru, ukiyotze, and so too, with fear and so on, go to the source. He continues up on top, but we'll go down to the bottom in a minute. V'ayin b'likutei yikarim. Look in likutei yikarim. She calls her bedavkin kishodim yidei ba'atzmai. That's only if a person knows about themselves. She zayis ha'machshava ein ha'bolem mitavis nafshe ha'bahamis. That's only if the person knows that these thoughts are not his own thoughts. Da'ayinu she yidei she be'etzem tivoi kvayinim esavu l'tavis ha'hu. Whoa. It's only if the person knows that in his nature he no longer is attracted to those desires.
Where is he getting
them from? V'yaf al pikein bals le'amachshav azoyz. And despite that, all of a sudden now this thought enters his mind. Is al korchach hakavonu la'alais al shasha. It must be that this thought came because it wants to be elevated, because it's not his thought.
So he's not talking to us anymore.
I don't think so.
Wait, is he saying that this is a person that realizes that the thoughts don't come from him, or a person who's achieved this madriga that a thought like this would not come from him?
It's the same thing.
No, it could be that for somebody else, this isn't an innate thought of his own, and he's still plagued by generating these thoughts. Or it could be that everybody doesn't, this is a foreign thought, but some people realize it's a foreign thought and some people don't.
No, he's saying here that the person has overcome this taiva. He no longer has an attraction to
meet.
So he
still has the thought that comes.
All of a sudden, he's overcome by this thought. Clearly, it's a machshava zara. Zara means it's not his, right? Exactly. That would be the typical case. David HaMelech says about himself that he eradicated his yetzahara with fasting. Masha Enken, he spells it out for us. He doesn't leave anything to our imagination. Masha Enken, kishadam wadayim bal taiva behetir biser. But if a person is still a glutton, he's a bal taiva, whether it's permissible or forbidden things, then hamachshava hazois, this thought, bas loy mitavis nafshe abahamis ashekoshava, then the thought is coming straight from his animalistic soul, with whom he is very hamish. How can the person possibly contemplate elevating it to a high place when he, the one who's trying to elevate, is stuck in the mud? This person has no business dabbling with elevating his midas. Exactly what the Baal Tanya says. The person should reject the thought from his mind in order to fulfill the biblical command, do not stray after your heart. And he should have in mind to fulfill this mitzvah. Anybody who looks into the works of the disciples of the Baal Shem Tov will see that that is the intent. Continuing up on top, that meaning that this refers to people who are elevated, to people who have already overcome, not for people who are still busy with their gashmias. Continuing on Daf Kuf Yud Tes. I added to this gorgeous pshat in the post. Simple to, from now on, when you say this post, you'll have in mind a whole different pshat. This drasha, this entire drasha that I just told you, b'shem the balatanya, another tamid the b'shem, that it depends where a person is holding. This whole thing is a pasuk in the Torah. Where do you see it? Pasuk says, "V'lo yisasuru achrei levavchem v'achrei nechem." Do not stray after your heart and after your eyes. Asher atem zayinim achreim, after which you stray. Those words, v'hinei asher atem zayinim achreim miyoter. Obviously, if you're straying after them, you're straying after them. Why does the pasuk have to say, don't stray after your heart and after your heart and your words, that you're straying after them? Obviously, you're straying after them. Uledaiti kachu akavona, says the Bnei Yisachar. This is the meaning. Mashani mitzavcha v'lo yisasuru. When do I tell you you shouldn't dabble with the thought? Haynu shloi lo sarachre machshava salev. When do I tell you not to follow those thoughts? Rak, rather, take it immediately. Bevoi tavas ha-machshava b'lev. Immediately when that thought comes to you, yidcha adova me-machshavta, you should immediately reject it from your thoughts. Zedavka bidavar ashratem zaynim achreim. That's for the kind of stuff that you in your normal life are accustomed to following. If that's your thoughts, then when it comes to you, the only way to deal with it is to reject it. If this thought that's coming to you in middle of Shemoneh Esrei is from a desirous thing, then you are still very much involved with that particular desire. And you still are accustomed to following that thought. That is a telltale sign that these thoughts that you're dealing with are very much part of your Nefesh Abami, is very much part of your life. If that's the case, you have no business whatsoever getting involved with this concept of elevating Midas Kamesha Kazaktila, like I wrote earlier. Rakli Kaimalai Sasura. Then your mission is to fulfill the mitzvah of don't follow it. Masha Ainkein Keshamachshavu Bedava Kazesh Ainatim Zainamachraim. This is not the case if what we're dealing with is something which is totally foreign to you. Where in the world did that come from? I never think about things like that. You find yourself no longer being involved with thoughts such as that. Then you could know that that thought came to you to elevate it. Therefore, then don't reject it. Then you should be involved in elevating it. The Alpha Pekin, look at this now. Kasavna b'makamacher. Even so, I wrote elsewhere. The agam d'tzarach l'kayim v'leis asura kanal. Even though you're supposed to put the thought out of your mind, you're supposed to reject it. Alpha Pekin yachshoiv b'shemois hashaychum v'midahu. Nonetheless, a person should get used to contemplating the various names of Hashem from whence stems this type of thought. And the wise person understands.
So he's saying even an average person has to make a birur.
Correct.
What he's over and what he's...
thinking about. And therefore, he should contemplate it. He should contemplate those shames.
That goes to show we discussed a few weeks ago. You can never get rid of your tiger. It's always going to be there. Whether you get to the point you totally
negated
it, or even if you neglect it, now you're saying here you can elevate it. That proves the potential is still for you to fall down. So therefore, that discussion last time about the titles of cheeseburgers, even though you say it's obviously never going away.
I know, he's saying that a person can eradicate and nonetheless it will come back in order to be elevated, not as a crass taiva.
Right, meaning but if you fall back upon being complacent, they're now elevated, therefore the potential's there that you
okay,
still
but
have.
Okay, it's a very fine line.
All right, but this is a very fine line between the Bani and the Sadiq as well.
All right, now, this is the most comprehensive version of Agada Pirka. Meaning, if you look into the footnotes here, he extensively goes through all of the Bnei Yisachar Sfarim, wherever he mentions this concept, and it's really a magnificent, comprehensive job of, you see the places where he quotes the Baal Tanya here as the source. Let's just take one example. Look on page Kuf Yud Zayin. This is from his Sefer Derech Pikudecha. That's the Sefer where he deals with the mitzvahs. So the left-hand column all the way on the bottom of Kuf Yud Zayin. Teida Yedidi. You should know, my dear one. She'ein advarim kipshutim lefnei kol adam. This is no simple matter for everybody. Kim Taimakein, because if you're going to say that this is the case for everybody, when are you ever going to have anybody who's going to fulfill the mitzvah of leis asura, which means that you got to totally get rid of the thought, ashnitz tavino, that we were commanded. Meaning, if everybody's going to dabble in elevating of these thoughts, nobody's totally rejecting them, and that's the mitzvah of Leis Asura. Rak teida shadvar malod megiim rak litzadikim tamimim. These are things for holy, lofty people. Asher libam chalal bekirbam. That's the language Bezalel said before, who have totally hallowed out their thoughts. V'yoidim b'tuv, and they know for sure. Asher kavabot leetz lamachem debatav. They've eradicated that attraction. You remember the Gemara Ksubis or Kedushin talks about one of the Amiraim who put a kala on his shoulder and he danced with her. And the other Amiraim came with him and how can you do that? And he says, if she's similar to me like a beam, you could do that. Right? Then the person can ask the question, where does this thought come from? It can't be that it comes from the evil inclination. They've already transformed it to sweetness and to goodness. Is al korchal? Then they know that it came from the good. And he goes on to quote. You see there, Reb Shneur Zalman in the Sefer Atanya, Shalachosid Agoin, Merein Reb Shneur Zalman. There he goes on to quote this concept of Asher Atem Zayinim Achreim. He quotes his own word here. Of these are yours, your thoughts. Anyway, it's worthwhile just to look through the footnotes here in your spare time to see how he processes this entire concept. Next week, just in concluding this, we're going to learn a piece from Valtanya's grandson, Yaakov Yisrael of Cherkass, who is also Ramotel Hanestapler's grandfather, Ramotel of Chernobyl's son. So you have a fabulous fusion of Chernobyl and Chabad. Just in conclusion, to see how he rounds off the concept of halos and machshavas for us. So we'll take it up in Emek Tefila next Wednesday, Mitzvah.